It. Okay. How's it going? What's going on? Welcome to Lockdown with Kabizi. I'm your host, Kabir Singh, and what an honor it is to have two of my favorite people in regular life and the comedy world. We have the amazing, the fabulous Ron Vai over here. How's it going, Ron?
It's going great.
And the people's champion, Mark Smalls.
I like that, dude.
Anybody that you talk to in the Bay Area, who's your favorite comic? Mark Smalls. Right? Like, you're like the new Brandon Lynch, by the way. I had to go through the whole Brandon Lynch phase, and now we have to go through your bullshit. So how's
it going? Hell yeah, let's go, dude. Oh, you don't know how great that makes me feel, dude.
You don't know how horrible that makes me feel.
How do you think that makes me feel too, Ron? I mean, Jesus Christ.
You're no longer a Bay Area comic. You've moved on. I've been here for 19 years. Yes, it's my own fault for not moving on, but I've seen so many generations come and go.
Yeah.
It's almost infuriating. Like, why am I still here?
You're like the old lifer in prison that you watch all these young kids come in and get out, and you're like, oh, I run the bookstore here.
Let me tell you how it goes and who does what for stage time.
Yeah.
Step one, have some respect.
Let me tell you who you have to blow to get an extra 2 minutes before you get the light around here. That's me. The answer, by the way, me. That's who you have to blow.
How do you think I became the people's champ, Kabir? I know who to blow.
People's champ. My friend, I was the people's champ until my friends fucked it up for me. I was a people's champ for a bit. I was actually very well celebrated for a very short amount of time. It was Brandon Lynch, me, and then you. So, you know.
Hold on, though. You keep saying Brandon Lynch.
Oh, sorry. What?
You keep saying my friend Brandon Lynch. It's Brendan Lynch.
Oh, fuck it. I don't give a shit. Listen.
Ron, you know goddamn well that Kabir is not on the Brendan pronunciation.
Yeah, I don't listen to it. All I know, there's only two things that I know. It's very hard to do cocaine on an air hockey table, and father.
Yeah,
and
it's such a great joke. God damn.
Going out there murdering it every night. You know Brandon Lynch? I'm like, why are you not liking me?
Yeah. I went to a comedian wedding in LA in February, right before all this crap happened, and I was so excited because I showed up at the wedding and there was one comic that I was like, oh no, I hope we're not at the same table. I was trying to avoid that motherfucker and they marched right up to me. But sitting next to me at my table, Brendan Lynch.
Oh yeah.
That was a highlight of the year so far.
I love that. Listen, man, when we used to put, you know, Sammy and I were a little bit of wildcast back in there. We would drag him to these crazy maniac shows in Modesto and shit, just throw him on. It was like, have fun over here. And he would do
he would crush.
He would either rip or just bomb. And it was awesome. Because it was pedal to the metal. That was one of my favorite comics to see, like, because every day to the Sunday Showcase at the Punchline.
Of course.
I would be off in the corner, and then I'd watch who would come in late. And every time I would be about to go, if I saw Lynch is like 6'5" ass walking.
Yeah.
Or even you could be like, we'd be like, all right, we're staying.
That means a lot. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. He's great. Also, for me, when it was my generation with Sammy, and for some of you guys that don't know it, I'm sure everybody knows, Ron Vai runs a Sunday show at the Punchline, the most prolific and amazing comedy shows. Now, you don't really? The guy for Sammy and I was Brent Weinbach. We would not leave until Brent Weinbach went on stage and just destroyed the place, him and Moshe.
And it's crazy for me because when I started Punchline as a comic back in 2001, you know, all the people that are names now, they still weren't even there yet. Like Ali Wong, you know, that was just at the show. I think she just came around just shortly after, you know.
Shortly after you?
Yeah.
Oh, I think shit. When I was there,
a lot of people came right after me, like 2002, 2003.
2003.
Like, I think when I started,
you're right. Okay.
Ryan Stout was in 2001.
Yeah, we started going out. I didn't go till like 2010 or 11. By that time, it was definitely Brett, Ali Wong, Moshe. And now look at the great generation over here. It was so funny because it's weird. The Punchline shit is because like, you kind of leave for a while and then you come back. And then now with amazing comedians like, you know, like Mark Smalls, man. Mark Smalls and the Pier 69 gang. Andrew Afalu has been killing it. All those guys have been great.
Now, here's the thing, though. Sometimes when you work as, like, a booker of any sort of comedy show, it works against you because you're, like, a booker and a producer and not a comic. But this is the long game. All you guys going out there killing it now, I do book you on things. So 10 years from now, I'm hoping that translates into me being your feature in a bunch of theaters.
We did Vegas together, though, and that was fun.
We did do Vegas together. By the way,
don't gamble with Ron Vi. He's playing these weird-ass games. Oh, Pai Gow. You earned so much money for Pai Gow, Mark. I mean, you're a gambler, too, yourself.
It's Ron gambles like someone I've never – this motherfucker could sit at the same table – betting these low-ass increment amounts for
yes.
hours on end. I tried to sit at one table with him one night, and I got maybe like 3 minutes in before I was up with one bet on the table. I was at the roulette table trying to bet on roulette at the same time. They're like, you can't do that, sir.
And I'm like, yeah, he got yelled at for multiple bets. No, I sit there. One of the last trips I took to Vegas, and I'm hoping it comes together because I have reservations in Vegas for June 9th to the 12th. But one of the last trips that I took to Vegas in February or early March, I went for 2 days. And I think I added it up. I think I clocked in 18 to 20 hours at the table.
That's crazy.
I left up. That's the point. You just slow. I'm a slow and steady gambler. I do the same thing with the horse racing. I bet you can still bet on horses right now. So, yeah, we can't go out into society because that's dangerous, but we can take horses and whip them and bet on them to our heart's content right now.
By the way, don't ruin that, by the way, all right? Don't just throw that out there and ruin fucking horse betting for us.
Stop trying to snitch on horse betting right now.
Yeah, thanks a lot, bro.
I mean, I'm betting. I bet every day. But,
But with Mark, I mean, we have, like, I mean, do you have, like, I have ADHD. I cannot sit there and play small amount.
No. I got to be, I always have to feel like I'm either about to win big or I'm about to have that pit of, like, oh, fuck, in my stomach.
Me and Kabir
gambled one night, and we probably went from table to table to table till, like, 5 in the morning.
We couldn't stop.
And just, like, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Did you leave with money?
I couldn't tell you. That is like the last thing on our heads.
I could not tell you.
You're not numbers guys. We're like,
yeah, I don't know. I promise you, I will never remember. Well, I remember like two times.
You both have like partners, so you're not there to like, get drunk and hook up.
Gambling for us is not a money making scheme. It's more just.
For me, it's more of like it's like a release of. I don't know what it is for me because I don't go in there like ready to make money. I go in there ready to lose my money, but I have a good time with it.
Exactly.
I'm okay if I lose my money. I know that that's probably what's going to happen. But the thing
I'm not okay with it. That's the problem. I'm not okay with losing, but I still have, I'm like a goddamn heroin addict. Like I know this is bad for me, but goddamn does it make me feel just warm and fuzzy inside.
I don't like, people keep inviting me that are like, before all this, to like gambling in their living room for a poker night, or now even like Kabir had like an online thing. And I don't like
I love the feel.
What?
There's no online thing with Kabir. Continue, bro. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, dude, what the fuck are you doing here, bro? Ron, when did you become Tekashi 6ix9ine? Boy, snitching on the horse betting. He's trying to get Kabir's casino. You know how many bookies Kabir owes money to that he swore off poker? Kabir hasn't touched the poker table in 4 years.
Never. Thank you, Mark. Continue, Ron.
I'm just saying that I feel most comfortable in the casino environment. Just like how some people hate being on airplanes, I love being on airplanes. I feel so safe and secure. Same thing in the casino. Like, I don't want to gamble at home. I don't want to be in your stupid living room drinking a PBR with you. I want the casino around me. I'm like at ease there. I feel great.
My problem with like the home games is I'm ADHD, so if we try to sit down and play a home game, no one knows how to deal. No one knows how to shuffle.
Right.
No one knows how to act on turn.
My only problem with the casino.
Mark, I'll get passed out in 3 hours. I'll just keep drinking, and I'm done like an hour and a half later.
And then I'm pushing my money in because I'm impatient.
Get out of here. Online, dude, in and out.
Yeah,
have you
guys ever been at
a casino when somebody gets the massage at the game table? That makes me insane.
Yes, yes.
That is disgusting to me.
The big baller with the extra $12.
Yeah.
Massage at $12. I've done
because they pushed on their dealer button and won like a $40 pot, and they're like, "Fuck it, I'll spend this on a massage."
Let me tell you the most disgusting thing I've ever seen at a casino in Vegas. It was at the table next to us. This young girl got drunk, threw up across the table, just projectile vomited across the table. The dealer was creeped out. They called the janitor, the janitorial staff, and they didn't even want to touch it. And throughout the whole time, there was one older, fat, white guy, maybe like in his 60s. He refused to leave the table because he said it was his lucky table. So they're like, game's closed down, go to another table. He's like, no, this is my lucky table. I'll play.
He was God bless him. God bless that guy.
Legend.
And what they should have had one of those little fans set up on the table. Maybe it would have blew some of the puke back.
Would you hate to be the pit bull to actually move him to the next table and watch him lose his money? I fucking told him. We should have just let him play.
Yeah. Hey, grab this fucking broad over here. Great, grab this broad and now we're coming throw up on this table.
Apologies are on me, sir. My apologies. I know gambling has stopped. I know comedy has stopped. And I know Mark is in the middle of the move to LA and the worst goddamn trip. That's so funny, Mark. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been one of the funniest comedians in California for a long time. And now you've made the move to LA. You're in it at the wrong time, unfortunately. But I know by the way, this is not the traffic you're going to experience in 3 months here. If you think this is
I know, right? It's been nice. I've been getting everywhere 20 minutes. I'm like, LA's tight, dude.
And you moved, you're looking at places in LA with your girlfriend right now. Are you excited for the move, the extra opportunities? I mean, I know you're going to be showcased for a lot of people that want to help you out. You've always been hilarious. I know you're going to get homesick a little bit because I know when I first moved there, it's been a little homesicky. You're gonna get a little bit of that, but excited? Are you excited for the journey? Like, are you?
I'm excited, man. I'm nervous. I think when you do comedy up in San Francisco, it's a little comforting because the scene is so small. I mean, there's a lot of shows, but it's a bubble, and it doesn't really when you're pursuing it from up there. And you get to that top, like little big fish in a little pond. Yeah. It doesn't feel almost real. I feel like making this move into LA and like, oh, I'm actually going to pursue this. It definitely feels a little more like, oh, this actually what I've been doing for the past, you know, 7-8 years this is a real thing. So I actually have to focus. And
I honestly believe that you're moving at the best time possible. I think you're at the peak of the game. I think you've always been great, but I think you're going to be able to. When we went to El Paso together, El Paso Comic Strip is not exactly the easiest show, and I took
them. Let me tell you. That was the fucking shout out. That great club, great people, great club. Right?
Yeah.
Rough time for me.
No,
though.
You gotta.
You remember that?
Oh, Mark.
They had me do 45 fucking minutes. I was
just gonna say that. I was all like, I can't wait to see Mark outside his comfort zone because he's been nailing it everywhere I've seen him. And he, by the way, nailed it in El Paso. Don't get me wrong at all. He fucking killed it. And that's actually.
I did okay.
But see, what happens is they play a fucking NSYNC song and they put on Mark and they latch you off 40. And it was brilliant. You did a phenomenal job, and that's when I knew this guy's the fucking real deal. And
let me say something. Let's say you're about to compliment me. I don't want to stop you.
But no, I already did. I think LA is going to treat him very well. He's got a great look, great comic, and I saw him go up 45 minutes in the middle of goddamn El Paso. I mean, that's not easy.
Thank you, Kabir. Yeah, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Here's the deal. San Francisco, what Mark was saying is it is kind of a bubble. And the cream, you know, we're at the top. And you can go in and get on the good shows and do well and whatever. But there's not that many challenges once you've been here for a while. So when you go to somewhere like El Paso, and you're telling Mark he did great, and Mark's like, yeah, I did okay or whatever, we forget what it's like in the other places. Because I've been to, like, clubs in Arizona and Texas
where
I'm like, that was mediocre. And they're like, oh, for a Californian, you did very well. Most people come here who are, like, California comics, and they don't know how to switch, or they don't know how to handle it. And there's a huge difference, you know? So I even heard that with Philadelphia. They're like, a lot of people that come from the West don't know how to make the switch.
Did you feel
so
punch?
We think we're failing, but they think we're doing great.
No, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
no, Philly Punch was great. It was like the first, I mean, I grew up outside Philadelphia, so I kind of know the people, but the first words that came out of my mouth when I came on stage, I'm hosting these shows, I fly in and I get out there and I'm like, you know, what's up? Just got in here from San Francisco and literally someone in the crowd just goes, fuck San Francisco. I was like, hell yeah. We ain't in Kansas no more.
East Coast, they're not big fans. I think the first I did Philly Punchline for a short weekend. Molly hooked me up just Friday, Saturday. Those are the best shows I've ever had, man. It was so much fun. They were packed out.
Yeah, you got to do like the opening, right?
I was, it wasn't, you know what? I think it was a couple months in, maybe a little bit, but it was insane doing it. It was fun. Philly was great. And I do remember them being a little rough around the edges before the show. Like, I would have people, mm-hmm. you know how you get it, right? Mark back in the day, like, oh, you better be funny. I'm like, relax. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We don't, but,
you know, I have the joke where I ask, what do you call a Asian, do you know what they call an Asian guy that dates a white guy? And when I asked that the first night I was in Philly a few years ago, someone yelled out, piece of shit.
Oh, God.
So I'm like, ah, I'm home. I'm back near my people in New Jersey.
Is that, you think he was mad about the interracial or the homosexual thing? It can't be both. It can't be both. You got to be mad at one more.
I feel like they're probably okay with the homosexual stuff.
Yeah, right?
Growing up in Jersey, like, Pete, the way people talk, they're a very good group of kind and caring people that would actually do a lot for their fellow, like, brother and sister, whatever, but they still talk like they're going to fuck you up. But I love when I get there and somebody's like, ah, Maron, you're your jewel, you're giving me agita, fungul. I'm like, oh, my God, these words I grew up with. Yeah. I fucking love it.
This guy, Jinx Star Weekend, by the way, I told him I got booked for New Jersey. I said that we're going to Atlantic City in July with Jack Jr. He's like, fuck that. That isn't New Jersey. And everything got canceled. Nice work, Ron.
No, you told me we're going to go to Atlantic City, but you were in like New Brunswick or something. And I just said,
about California, motherfuckers, all New Jersey after Philly.
It's like an hour and a half away, but I said, I'll go. There's no limit. I will go to a casino. Like, I'm just was letting you know that it's not around the corner.
Mark, and what were we saying, man?
What?
What were we going to say, Mark?
I wasn't going to say anything. I was listening.
Favorite comedy club that you've done. So what is your favorite home club? Your favorite comedy club that you don't have to say Punchline because Ron's here, by the way. I want to hear.
My favorite comedy club? Is being in the green room at Punchline with Ron Vai.
Oh, you pussy.
No, my favorite comedy club is a Punchline, bro. What the fuck? That's the best comedy club that I mean.
I agree.
I would say in the world, I haven't done them all, but it's just the people, the staff, cool, they've all been there forever, and they all love comedy. The room is great. Mm-hmm. The acoustics are fucking on point. The stage is, you're higher, but you still feel with them. It's the best. It's the best.
I agree with you. Ron, outside of Punchline, what is your favorite comedy club? Because I can't hear your goddamn answer. Outside of Punchline, what is your favorite comedy club to perform at?
Oh, gosh. You know, they all take on things that you really like and don't like about them, you know? Every club is the same way. I don't know if there's like I love going to Laughs in Arizona because, everybody will have something they don't like about every club, right? I love Roosters. People will be like, well, they don't have a green room. And I'm like, but I love it. I don't need a green room to go and like kill, you know? Laughs, I like Laughs because it's a huge room that's usually packed out. The problem there is, like a lot of comedy clubs, is a little bit like the Wild West, where there's not as much security, so you have to go but I can do that. You just have to take control of like a late night Saturday night audience. I mean, there's Vegas. I love performing at the LA Comedy Club. One thing that I like about the LA Comedy Club is, well, I think in Vegas in general, is that you don't know what you're getting. Like when you go to the Dirty at 12:30 at South Point, mm-hmm. I love it. I always have done well there because I think it's a curated like group of locals who just want to have fun. They're drunk and they just make me laugh. But on the Strip, as you all know, it's a lot harder. And I like the challenge of going up at somewhere like the LA Comedy Club because
none of them are from Vegas.
None of them are from Vegas.
Yeah, they're fucking from everywhere.
And they're from so many different places. Now, for you might think, okay, well, I got the Indian thing working against me, but I've never seen you do poorly. I've seen you look like a hot mess 2 minutes before going on stage, and somehow.
I fucking hate it. It's the worst.
You're so likable. But
Kabir is the most bulletproof motherfucker that I've ever seen do. It's infuriating. Every time I see him.
I got hit by a couple bullets earlier in March. I'll talk about that later. I did get a couple.
I kind of want to get the microphone.
I heard rumblings of that.
Yeah, I got
like,
blown up.
It was so funny to me that I was like hearing about this because you don't hear about anyone's bombs and everybody bombs every night of the week. And I'm hearing rumblings about one show in the thousands of show you do in a year. And they're like, bad show.
Let me
it's
tell
like,
you.
It's like, who gives a fuck?
It was motherfucking Christmas Eve for everybody. I've been nothing but nice to everybody. But when I got fucking trashed up. And then I was headlining the Jimmy Kimmel Club. And I went up for the midnight show on Saturday. They put me on at 2:30. Couldn't even get the words out of my mouth. It was a complete mess. I have to do a whole redo, but it was a fuck job. But yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, it's just I was going through some family shit too, and it was.
But that also doesn't sound right. No comedian should have to be in Vegas all day and then do a set at 2:30 in the morning.
Absolutely.
That is like that's abuse right there.
But I will say though, yeah, Mark, you nailed it on the come though. The people that disliked me were celebrating it like fucking that they just won.
That's
a
exactly. It's like no comedian should be celebrating like another person's bad Yelp review.
And that's the thing, like as comedians, like people like us that are friends, if I see something, I'll probably make fun of it with you to you, but you shouldn't be celebrating it because A, it's karma. B, we've all like, you know, we've all had those sets. We've all had it where it's killed 8 times in a row, and then a 9th time, you're like, what the fuck is wrong with all of you?
But I think what upset me the most is that I definitely did it to myself. Like I fucking went out there plastered. Like if I was so, I mean, I'd much rather tank it plaster than tank it sober, because that just means I'm not very good. But I did that to myself, and I'm actually, you know, that, you know, it sucked.
Well, I bet I'm willing to put money on it that like half the people that were celebrating this fucking bad set like has never even had a set comparable to your bad set. Like I guarantee
that means still, a lot. Thank you.
There were still people in the audience that were like, I fucking really like that guy. He's really funny. I want to check him out.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. But that was the worst show I've ever done in my life. So actually, there wasn't very many people in the crowd saying that. But I'm just kidding. It was a 0 out of 0. But I really do appreciate you saying that. I will admit it. I did. I got a little out of hand. But no, it is interesting though. Like, you know, doing these shows, and I really appreciate that. Actually, that's very sweet of you. That really means a lot because it really affected me in a different way. Because I have been teetering the line of bulletproof, and then that one all caved in on me, and it kind of sucks.
Well, you need that, Kabir. You need that.
I probably deserve
it. You can't. You never get better unless you get knocked down a peg. So
you
break it down, and then you get stronger.
Exactly. And this break happened right after that, and I've been really kind of figuring out my own shit. And you know, that's very nice of you to say that. It really does mean a lot.
You know what? That did happen right out. Oh yeah, you're probably fucked now. If you got a bomb and then you haven't been, you're done. I mean, I would quit. But
the good news is,
you're never funny again, bro?
Yeah, no, never again. The best part is, I think so much bullshit happened over in Vegas afterwards. They probably won't even remember when I come back. It's been on Sundays, like
dude.
I killed Thursday.
Just say you had the virus. What the fuck?
I'm gonna start a rumor that you started COVID. And
dude,
just after that bad set, you started it to just erase everybody's minds of your bad set.
I'll tell you what, I would rather get COVID than fucking relive that night again. I'll fucking tell you.
Oh, no.
But it is crazy. I know COVID's been – thank you, by the way. That really means a lot, Mark and Ron. I know that the whole COVID thing is affecting all of our lives and shit like that. Oh, no, 10 minutes just sucks. Okay, let's do this real quick. By the way, the reason why I have two guests on because I can bring you guys back with other people and we can do it again. I know there's a lot of other stuff that we need to retro. I just want to say
– I only do it with Mark.
This is the best.
I only do it to Ron.
I would ask you both a question real quick before I wrap up. By the way, this was the most fun I've had with everybody. Mark Smalls in LA now. What is your goals? What is your what would you feel like you would want to? Okay, so I know this sucks now, but probably things will get done in about a few months. But what are some of the clubs that you want to get into? What are some of the goals that you want to achieve in LA? And I know you and Andrew are super tight. Andrew's doing great. He's in LA now too. What are some things that you want to accomplish while you're in LA? What are some of the goals that you think that you could do in LA that you couldn't do in SF? The reason why you moved over here.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. I feel like I hate talking about this because I feel like it's super pretentious. And also,
yeah,
I hate talking about goals because I feel like if I tell people, then I'm like going to get that satisfaction of doing it when I didn't really do it. But I don't know, just have to do the same thing I did in San Francisco. I mean, I started being a complete outsider, and I guess just got respect through my comedy. And what I want to do down here that I can't do up there is somehow make a career, you know, do acting, do fucking, do just, I want to quit waiting tables. And totally I feel like I can meet someone down here that will help me with that.
And that's the right answer. The shows, the sets you've had in the Bay Area, you do half of that in front of the right people in LA. You're going to meet a great manager.
That's what I want. I want just like a bigger reel for my.
You want the people in the crowd not to just be people that want to see comedy, but people that could take your career to the next level. And by the way, Mark, you are 100% ready to go on that. I can't wait to see. I see big things happening for you, Mark. I can't even tell you, Ron. You're still.
And that doesn't mean like I'm not willing to work. Like I mean, I'll do whatever. You know.
No. We're not booking you in the Bay Area anymore. You're done. Yeah. Made your decision. Would you like a recommendation for the Jimmy Kimmel Club? Ron, do you want Midnight Saturdays? That's my show now. Ron, I know you're still banging out the Sundays at Punchline, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
Last thing. I want a positive and a negative of running. I know you got listen, there's no other better person to run it because you're a comedian first. You're a comedian first, and you're not just a decent average comedian. You're an absolute murderer. You're a comedian first, and you have this responsibility over at the Punchline to gatekeep, get the proper people in at the right time. What is the worst part about the job, and what is the best part of the job? And we'll end with that.
Well, let's start with some of the worst parts. is that I take my jobs very, very seriously because I'm a representative, you know, for the club. And if they get a bad Yelp review based on people that I book the host feature or put up there at the showcase, you know, then that's my doing for the most part, you know? And so I feel like some people might think that I make them jump through hoops more, but it's only to make sure that we are fully ready. Everybody's fully ready, prepared to go. Why pass somebody early and then watch them bomb the first week and be like, well, it was their first week. Why not have them do really well and get that Yelp review that says, wow, even the host was funny? Because people don't consider like the host to be real comedians and things like that. So why not just wait a little longer? I mean, listen, I'm a comic. I have this job. I take the job very seriously. And that's the hard part. I am a comic first. Mm-hmm. And I want to see people that are doing well succeed. So I was the one who passed Mark Smalls for work there at the club, right? Yeah. Mark's audition was the night after Trump got elected.
Oh, I would have hated
it. She was horrible, yo.
She was horrible.
It was the worst night of my life, dude.
No, it wasn't.
I swear to God, it was the worst night of my life.
Could do it, but that night, nobody was doing well because it was the night in San Francisco, liberal San Francisco, after Trump got elected. But I just said, just for like the sake of doing my job, I need to have you come back because I can't pass you based on what I saw, even though I don't think what I saw was your fault.
Yeah.
You know? And so the worst part is working with these comics, trying to be friendly with everybody, but sometimes having to say no to people because that sucks when you do a show somewhere else the night before and then you've got to kind of critique them. Mm-hmm. And also to tag on to that worst part is I can't set trade with you. And I wouldn't do it even when I had like a bar show. What I'd get so many random emails from people is like, hey, can you give me a week of paid work at the Punchline? I'll put you on my bar show in Fresno. I'm like, what a trade, you know?
Yeah.
So those are the worst parts. If you guys sum it all up, it's like I'm a comedian and I want to be treated like a comedian and I don't want booking the club. I also don't want to be booked at other places because I book or I work for a club.
No,
I want to be booked because I'm a comic who will do well and bring benefit. And then the best part is that I'm not a schmoozer. I don't go away, oh, there's headliner on now. I can say I work here and I can suck up to them. I don't do that. But I get to work. I can see everybody come to town and just really celebrate and embrace what I love to do in this like best venue, this noted venue of 40 plus years. You know, the Punchline. I get to also move
ahead. The Google Punchline.
What?
The Google Punchline.
I also have my finger on the pulse locally. I get to move ahead people who I feel deserve to be moved ahead.
Yep.
And I know when you're not putting in the proper amount of work, and I'm not going to let anybody skate by. And it's not because I'm in charge. It's because not only do I care about comedy, but I care about the scene that I started in that was so good to me. That's my way of just sort of like passing it on. Yeah. And I hate kind of like when my babies leave, you know? I hate when
It really feels like that, though. Like, it really does. Like, that's like my favorite part about Ron working it is like I can tell because I have such a passion for comedy. Like, I see his, and you know, a lot of times, like club bookers, when you talk to them, they're out of it. But this guy is like so involved in the ground up, the shitty open mics to the good shows to the best shows. And you see that. So when I had that horrible audition, if it was some random club booker, maybe that's my only opportunity and I don't get to come back for 2 years. But since he has his finger on the pulse, he knows, like, you know, listen, he bombed there, but he is, you know, I used to think Brennan Lynch, but now I think Mark Smalls, you know? So,
yeah.
No, like, but like, I felt secure because, like, I know he knows I'm better than that, you know?
Yeah. Well, that is the one thing great to have that.
It's very lucky, too, because there's not a lot of Ron Vies out there in that
exactly.
kind of control.
Exactly.
I mean, I fully understand that one bomb now doesn't mean that this is how you always are. And sometimes
no, it doesn't. I agree.
You can tell when someone's bombing, but you know they're a good comedian.
Yeah.
You can tell most of the time within the first 5 seconds where they're at in their comedy career by the way they approach the microphone. Of course.
I do love you guys. I know we're approaching that 2 minute mark. It will cut me off because I did put this. But listen, guys, you guys are two of my favorite people, and I definitely want to do this again next week. If you guys have another 20 minutes, I'd love it, and we could just talk more. We could talk about your experience. I know you're looking for a new place, Mark, right now.
I got shit to do, bro.
I love you. Mark, congratulations. Welcome to LA. You're going to be fucking fire, man.
Thanks, Kabizi. Let's kick it.
I can't wait to see you. And Ron Vai, you are one of my favorite people I've ever met. So I love you to death. Thank you for all you do for comedy. Mad love to The Punchline. I know you have your Zoom shows at The Punchline right now. So check out Ron Vai on Facebook. Check out Mark Smalls on Facebook. And I hate to end like this.
Instagram. Insta. Check me out on Instagram. Mark Smalls.
Mark Smalls, Instagram, Ron Vai.
I'm there.
Comment on this video if you want any of the information. I love you guys. This has been Lockdown with Kabizi. You saw the great Ron Vai and Mark Smalls. You're going to see a lot more of them in the future. Thank you so much for having us. And I love everybody.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you, guys. Everybody has bad nights. That's the key. love you guys.